Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning, Pop Chasers, and happy November 3rd. I am Allison, your host of Pop Chaser, the daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. Every day we will go through the biggest headlines in entertainment together. So first of all, congrats to Kristen Stewart, who announced she was engaged to her partner of 2 years. Didn't even know that she was dating anybody. I have to say I've been like blindsided by a couple engagements over the past couple days. So Kristen is engaged to her girlfriend, Dylan Meyer. Didn't even know that she was seeing somebody. And then get this, Cal Penn, also engaged to his partner of 11 years. Where have I been? I don't know, but that's fine. I'm happy for everybody. And I have to say, I find these couples' engagements very refreshing when I feel like I've just been force-fed Kravis engagement content. So I'm like, I like this. Kristen Stewart, Cal Penn, these are people that I can get behind. And you guys know I am very enthusiastic for Spencer. Anyway, let's get into the topics of the day. I just had to send out a quick mazel to those two. And yeah, I feel like I need to start with, of course, The Bachelorette. Let's get into it. So Michelle really cleaned house this week, and I have to say I'm very here for it. I'm glad that she's just kind of like cutting out the noise versus entertaining it. But we do have to talk about some of these rather unsavory men. And let's start with the most unsavory of them all, Peter. Actually, I don't know if he's the most unsavory, but I was trying to do a play on his pizza, you guys, so which we will get into. So I do not understand why this man was here, because I got like very like Whitney, Heather, bad weather, tornado, spin the truth, destroy, Lisa Barlow vibes from him. He just was pure chaos. Him throwing Will's jacket in the pool, was it worth Will crying over? Probably not, but it was just so childish, and it reminded me of some of like the Bachelorette contestants from like years and years ago, where you were just like, what are you doing, like destroying other people's property? Or even like, remember in America's Next Top Model with the granola bars and the Red Bull? That's like the vibe, and I don't like that vibe. I do have to say, I did look up Peter's Pizzeria, and I have to be honest, he has a chicken bacon ranch pizza, which is a vote in his favor. I don't make the rules. It's a great type of pizza. Maybe that's the Midwest in me, but I do respect that. But then he also has an appetizer that is fried fettuccine Alfredo, which is like, fine. I enjoy a fried mac and cheese ball. Who's to say I wouldn't enjoy it in fettuccine Alfredo form? The problem is what it's called on the menu, and it's called Fetty Wap. And I think that says everything we need to know about Peter. I think that says all. He's gone, though. He's left the building. And, you know, I think we're all better for it. Let's move on to Nate. Nate and Michelle, you guys, they are just so freaking cute. I love them together. I don't care if I only have eyes for them. I think that their little escape into the Marriott parking lot, wherever they're staying, was adorable. I loved that Nate called out Jamie and that he was like really like craning his neck during that rose ceremony or cocktail party conversation to like hear what bullshit Jamie was saying. That's just like, that's good. That's good stuff. I'm here for him. I think they have great chemistry. I can't wait to see what happens next between them. I wish we could just have one-on-ones with them from now on. Speaking of Jamie, what a mess. I have to say, I feel for Jamie's tragedies. I also think, though, that this man just like totally sucks. And I think two things can be true at the same time. We can feel for him and his situation, and we can also just not like him on the show. And the truth is, he stirred up so much drama for no reason, which is fine. Many people before him have done that. Many people after him will do that. It looks like even in the promo, somebody, the guy that looks like Ted from Schitt's Creek is, you know, gearing up to take on that role. God bless. But he, first of all, I didn't understand what was going on with the whole spring break comment. So it seems like he was talking to his producer about how Michelle is just basically in spring break mode, which is, I don't see that at all. I mean, has he ever seen the show before? I actually think Jamie is the one that says he's never seen like 1 hour of reality TV. So perhaps he hasn't, but I don't understand why he's on the show if he thinks that like this was going to be some type of retreat. I don't know what he expected, but that in itself was so disrespectful. If he had stayed, I hope that producer would have leaked a little info to Michelle, but luckily we don't have to deal with that. The other thing is he was just really bad at being messy. I don't like when people are messy and then just like leave. It's not even like leaving breadcrumb trails. Like he's leaving a loaf of bread every step he takes. And I don't like that. And if you're going to be messy, be good at it. Be conniving, be clever about it. He got his hand caught in that cookie jar. He looked so stupid. And I was glad that Michelle sent him home swiftly. I was glad that we didn't have to see any more of his lying. But I just am like, dude, what is your problem? I also find it very interesting and worth noting. You can go on to thedip.com, use promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. This man has released about 15 long, long Instagram story messages that are a mix of apologies, are a mix of I'm only human, are a mix of you didn't get to see everything. Just so many excuses. And you just got to say, like, when you're already apologizing and making statements before a show even airs, it's probably not a good sign. Probably not. But yeah, he's gone. Michelle, great job calling that one out. I respect her for doing it privately. I would have just given him the boot right in front of everyone, since he chose to make everything that they talked about so public too. But yeah, I'm glad he's gone. We don't need any more of that energy. And finally, before we move on to the next topic, I just want to check in with Clayton, our new bachelor who has yet to be announced and has barely been on the TV screen. I think he was on for about 3 minutes in this most recent episode, which is an all-time high for him. I still am wondering, how are we going to get to this man being our lead? He's going to really need to take off in the next like 5 minutes. I feel like people are really taking to Rick, who is not wearing eyeliner, by the way, but has eyelashes from God. I'm surprised that we're not like going in the direction of Rick, but we're going in the direction of Clayton, who just doesn't really seem to have the charisma. Although I was speaking to one of our fantastic writers on The Dip, Olivia Trufa Wong, who her and I were discussing, has there ever been a bachelor who has charisma? The Bachelorettes, 100%. But I think also people expect women to do more. The Bachelors, I'm racking my brain right now. Please message me if you can think of someone who has been a bachelor lead has had charisma. I can't think of one. And so for that reason, maybe Clayton makes sense, but I'm genuinely asking, message me. Okay. Moving on to the next topic. So the next thing that I would love to discuss is Saturday Night Live. This Saturday, I'm so excited. Kieran Culkin is hosting, aka Roman Romulus from Succession. I can't wait to see what he does because I feel like his comedic timing is going to be so different than what I think a lot of people bring. And look, don't get me wrong, you guys know I gushed over Kim Kardashian, but think of like just the different capabilities we have. Kim was able to make fun of herself. She was in on the joke. She was so funny. But then we have Kieran, who's like, honestly, like a deadpan comedian, even though he most of the time there's really no comedy with Succession, at least in the circumstances of the plot. But I'm just so excited to see what he does. Along with Kieran, Ed Sheeran will be the performer. I have to say, I didn't know this. There was a bit of a scandal because the singer tested positive for COVID in October, and he's been quarantining since that positive diagnosis. So he is cleared to perform on SNL, but I totally missed that too. Have I been living under a rock, you guys? I don't know. But we have Kieran Culkin, Ed Sheeran on Saturday. The following Saturday, on November 13th, Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country, also Loki, will be the host, while Taylor Swift will be the performer. Interesting that Taylor's not doing double duty. I feel like she can do that, but I do feel like this is really a focus, a reemerging of her music. Obviously, Red, the re-release, the Taylor's version coming out November 12th. Makes sense that we would probably want to keep her mind, her head in the game, keep music on the mind. So I'm not against it. And then I'm also very, very not against November 20th. So Kim's Convenience star, also Shang-Chi star, Simu Liu is going to be guest hosting. Now, if you guys haven't seen Kim's Convenience, what are you doing? It is so incredible. You can watch it. It kind of gives you a Schitt's Creek vibe, at least for me it did. It's on Netflix. It's Canadian. That's not the only reason it gave me a Schitt's Creek vibe. It's great. Now, he will be the guest host, while the guest performer is going to be Saweetie. So that's a combo that I'm very here for. Very, very here for. I haven't seen Shang-Chi yet, and I have to say, I've heard great things. I'm also very excited to see The Eternals. Shout out to the time before times when I went to London for the set visit of The Eternals back in January 2020. Feels like, you know, it's just been almost 2 years since I was there. But I got to get back on my Marvel game. I feel like I've really dipped off, but that's okay. There's plenty of time. The holidays are coming up. That's when we watch all. I go on my Disney Plus and I just watch them all. Anyway, that's SNL. I'm assuming they haven't released anything past it, but I'm assuming maybe there will be a break then. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for all of these. These are such good guests. And they're also just like people that I'm excited to see explore the Saturday Night Live stage. There it is. The Saturday Night Life. Anyway, should all be fantastic. Can't wait to see it. Also, it's Taylor's fifth time as a performer on Saturday Night Live, so we better get her fifth timers club little robe, that little velvet robe that they all get. Okay, moving on to Dancing with the Stars. So I want to talk about Dancing with the Stars because I feel like I haven't really been touching down on it as much as I would like to, but it has been a very interesting season. So I have to say, I don't understand the voting for this show. I have tried to understand it. I have certainly read a lot about it, but JoJo Siwa was in the bottom two this week, and I am flummoxed. I don't understand. She got 39 points from the judges. Now, from my understanding, they then take that 39 and divide 315 because there were 315 points. This is, you guys, I am a creative writing major. I am not a math major, so bear with me. There were 315 points awarded on Monday night's episode. So what they do is take that 315 and divide. No, they divide 39 by 315. It doesn't matter. The point is her percentage of points took up about 12%+ of the combined amount of points awarded. Then they add in the percentage of North American votes that she got. That's how she ended in the bottom two. So that tells me that there are not people voting for her. Sorry, my dog has just decided it's time for him to play with a squeaky toy. So Cody, who you guys know I will die for, Cody Rigsby of Peloton, he has been continuously safe. Now, that is telling me that the Pelo fam is strong, that we are here, we are voting, we are not going to let our guy down. How does this affect, though, the challenges as a whole? Could that mean that at the end of the day, we are going to have people who are maybe not getting the highest scores at the end? Probably. I mean, Cody got, and you guys know I love him, I vote for him, he got 34 out of 40. JoJo got 39, a near perfect score. And she was in the bottom two. Now, at the end of the day, The Miz went home. So I don't feel like it's, I'm not trying to be negative, I just don't feel like that was like the biggest loss. He also, I think, got like 32 on Monday night. So he wasn't the strongest performer, but I have to say, I don't know if Cody's the strongest performer too. I think I was so impressed by his horror night performance that the Queen night performance left a little to be desired, but I would say that was across the board, to be honest. I thought that the horror night performances were just out of this world. Queen ones, I was distracted by Tyra Banks talking about Suni Lee throwing up every 2 seconds because she didn't have to do her like that. And if you're watching and you were sitting at home screaming at your TV like I was, like, Tyra, please stop embarrassing this young girl. You're not alone. Anyway, I think Cody's going to get to the final three. I don't know who he's going to be there with, but I know that the Peloton family is strong and the votes are there. I got to say, I think Olivia Jade doesn't really have that fan base, but is incredible. She's so good that I wonder if she can eke by. I think Iman is fantastic. And I think that he had a rough night on Monday, but I really do feel like people always attach themselves to the athlete who, like, you shouldn't be able to dance, and he can. So I don't know. There are a lot of very talented people on this show. It's going to get hard. It's going to be hard to say goodbye to some of these people now too. I feel like we finally kind of lost those that were like, oh yeah, him. And like, you go to the bathroom during that performance. It's going to be tough. Anyway, vote for Cody, vote for whoever you want. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but it's C-O-D-Y. Okay. Moving on to the next thing I need to talk about, which is the synopsis of the movie Red Notice. You guys, this movie, it's hitting theaters November 5th, on Netflix November 12th. You know me, I love two things in a movie. I love a heist and I love Dwayne Johnson. Guess what? Red Notice has it both. And I just need to take a moment to just really relish in what this movie is about. So you've got an FBI top profiler played by The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. You guys know me, I love Criminal Minds. I've told you on this podcast, I one time said to a cop that the unsub, the peeping Tom who was watching my sorority house, the unsub was wearing an orange sweatshirt. That's because I watch Criminal Minds, which is part of the FBI BAU, Behavioral Analyst Unit. There it is. Anyway, Dwayne Johnson is playing a top profiler for the FBI. He is on a hunt to find one of the top art thieves in the world, played by Gal Gadot. Who does he have to partner up with? Ryan Reynolds, who is another art thief, one of the best, one of the greatest. He partners up with him because they're trying to stop a heist that cannot happen. This sounds like it was made for me, a fever dream, perhaps. If I could have taken pen to paper and said, what do I look for in a movie? It's every single thing that this movie description has. The best part of it, in a recent interview, Dwayne Johnson said that there are Vin Diesel jokes in the movie. And that's because he is a part of the Fast Fam. And so is Vin Diesel. Obviously, he's the patriarch of the Fast Fam. Do I want the family to be taking jabs at each other? Not particularly. But do I understand that sometimes it's inevitable? Sure do. So, I mean, I can't believe, if I had to add a third thing to my list, it's heists, Dwayne Johnson, and a Fast and the Furious nod. And I got them all, it sounds like. I can't wait. Again, November 5th in theaters, November 12th on Netflix. It's going to be a good time. You guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Pop Chaser. I'm going to let my dog play with his squeaky toys now. I hope everybody has a fantastic Wednesday. I will be back tomorrow with the newest headlines. And until then, cheers.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.